This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
We have a trophy here that we're going to present. It's the World Championship Trophy, and it goes to the world champion, Portland Trailblazers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You're going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone. It is intercepted! Intercepted! The Ducks have the ball! Down to the 35, the 40. Kenny Wheaton's going to score! Kenny Wheaton's going to score!
And Brendan Sprague.
Smith hands to Simonton. Simonton around the corner. Is he going to score? The crowd is on the field. Look out, everybody. The Beavers have won.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Lillard, long range three. And it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
The Fan.
I'm living in a 21st.
That's right, Damian Lillard. Chasing another championship. Yeah. Cup check.
Indeed.
Cup check. No dirt, no Sprague.
Actually, two good games on Saturday.
Yeah?
Yeah, both entertaining. Yeah. I don't know why they needed like an hour and a half intermission between the two. I know they were on separate networks, but you kind of killed a little momentum there.
What's your feeling on the Emirates Cup? I have not been drawn in by it.
The games, if you go back and look at the games that are designated as cup games, there is a bit more intensity to them, which in December, but getting people to actually just tune in, if you can get them to tune in, I think they will stay with them.
Okay.
And yes, the players have invested in them. The cup, I think, means something to the players. Okay. This is something that they're trying to win. And yeah, there's an incentive for them, but I think they've sold it internally. I still think they could do a better job. They need to redo the floors. The floors are obnoxious they are hard to watch. If you want to do something inside the two keys in the lanes and have some sort of graphic and a cup and a color and something, that's fine. But those become very difficult to watch. I understand visually they want something to designate that it is a cup game so the announcers don't have to say it all the time. I think there's a different way you can skin that cat.
Can we get a cup check sounder? Do we have one of those? There's your cup check!
I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to go find an old Mitch Kupchak highlight.
Yeah. There you go. That's what
those that watched the NBA in the 80s, 70s.
Well, that was my next question for you, because that was very Homer open to the hour. Yes.
That's one of Dirt's finer works.
You get made fun of a lot on this show for being very, very, very old. I will not do that. But how old were you when the Blazers won their championship?
I was 6.
Okay.
So. I vaguely remember that. I more remember the next two that were the Sonics and Bullets back to back. They each won one, and that Sonics team was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and the Blazers were leading the league the following year.
Yeah, and then Walton went down and broke his foot,
and then the Sonics
and the curse of the Blazers began. The curse of the big man injury.
Yeah. Well, the NBA championship, the hardest to win. There are more teams that have never played for a championship in this league that we're referring to than any other. I mean, NFL, there's only a couple teams that have never been to a Super Bowl. Most of them have a chance. In MLB, there's only been one team to never play for a World Series. We don't need to get into that right now. Great NFL weekend, but there are a couple more games tonight. Not a ton of playoff implications, for the matchup necessarily, but for the teams involved. With Detroit losing, they fall back to a two loss to match everybody else atop the NFC. So now you have Philadelphia at 12-2, Detroit at 12-2. People obviously excited about what the Green Bay Packers were able to do in dismantling the Seattle Seahawks and who can win this division. I even heard somebody talking about the Bucks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a roll. You don't want to play them in the playoffs. But what I have not heard anybody talk about is the Minnesota Vikings sitting there at 11-2, a chance to go 12-2. All they have to do is beat the Bears tonight, and now you've got a chance to jump up and be among the teams battling for the top spot in the NFC. And their defense is remarkable.
Yes. Their defense is quite stout.
Yeah, so where's your, I mean, I don't know that you have any interest. I guess the Falcons are still alive. The benefit the Falcons have is they've beaten the Buccaneers twice, so if they can take out the lowly 2-11 Raiders tonight.
They better not lose to the Raiders.
Well, they do, their season's done, and then we can just...
Then we get Michael Penix.
Put Kirk Cousins in the transfer portal and try to figure out where we go from there, right? Isn't that the move?
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
If he throws picks tonight, I you might see a change mid-game.
I would hope so.
I don't know how much longer they can stomach that.
Well, somebody threw out the idea, I don't know, was watching or listening this weekend, but the possibility that Kirk Cousins ends up with that contract in San Francisco instead of Brock Purdy. I don't know how much that tickles your football future fancies, but that seems like
something. I think, first of all, people need to figure out if Kirk is the, if there are physical things that are new affecting him, because there's been a lot of anecdotal evidence that he's not got the same steam on the football that he had.
And if you think
now,
you do,
what that has to
don't.
Do with his Achilles, I don't know, or if something else has happened and we don't know about it.
Well, I mean, how
old is
he?
Or he can't step into it. What is he, 36, 37?
Yeah, so you just lose some zip, and, you know, the difference between completing a pass and having it, you know, end up in the hands of your opponent is not a really wide margin in the NFL.
No.
So if you are lacking a little zip and it's a throw that you've made 100 times and it should get to this point at this time and it doesn't, yeah, then it's time to move on. But we know that Kyle Shanahan absolutely loved his time in Washington with Kirk Cousins. And Brock Purdy did not look like the answer, has not looked like the answer with all the injuries that San Francisco has. Just that arm strength. I mean, there's a couple throws on the Thursday night game. I know it was rainy, but ugh.
Mac has a noodle arm.
So trying to decide what you do next year, and you have a guy that's already got a contract. It'll be interesting. So that game has implications.
We got a long way to go.
But the one that I'm more intrigued about is if you had to right now figure out who your NFC North champion is going to be, where's your pick? All the injuries you mentioned, three more injuries on defense to a defense that's already been decimated. There's a chance that you could get Aiden Hutchinson back for the NFC Championship game.
The chance that they get there is
getting slimmer and slimmer as you lose people. I mean, what they give up, 900 touchdowns yesterday, 48, 42.
Well, and Buffalo's just a train right now. So,
well, they also need to figure out how to stop people, too, though.
I mean, take that into consideration, but... Yeah. As for the Lions, so they have a win, it was albeit a close win at Minnesota. So they get The Vikings to end the season.
Which is going to be great.
Which could very well be for the NFC North title.
And could be for the first round bye.
Yeah.
Oh, juicy. I love that. And then here's the other problem. Is you lose that game, and now you're a five seed.
Yep.
Because you are not going to, you know, as much as people begrudge
it. The Eagles get their three conference opponents to end the season.
Yeah.
And the only game that appears to be a game would be the Commanders.
Yeah.
I think that's in the district.
I can pull that up for you.
If I'm not mistaken. So that would be the one. They get past that. Then the only question is, are there guys that need some rest? How much do they play starters?
Yep.
That sort of situation, because they should absolutely suffocate the Giants and the Cowboys.
One would hope so. Absolutely. But Cooper Rush, looked like he was doing something this weekend. No?
No. That was on the Panthers. I don't know what that was. They're favored for the first time in 2.5 seasons, and then they go stink it up.
So at Commanders next weekend for the Eagles, then
yeah.
Home for Cowboys and Giants.
And that's the one. So they go in there, and I think they will want to deliver a message there.
Well, the Commanders fighting for their
That'll be a game.
For their playoff hopes.
And so. The Commanders should have cruised, and then in New Orleans, and then they stopped playing for some reason.
Yeah.
That was a weird game.
Yep. Well, New Orleans is a weird team, but they lead with the victory.
Jake Haener got the start and looked massively confused, and then Spencer Rattler came in, and all of a sudden he was slinging it all over the yard.
Spencer Rattler's a weird one. I mean, even in his college days, he never knew what he was gonna get. He does have a cannon there
on his right shoulder. He can sling it.
Yeah. Well, and the arm talent is something that you absolutely have to have in the NFL. I think that goes back to the Brock Purdy conversation, where there's a reason that these guys get picked where they do, and there's a reason that they have the combine where you go out there and chuck it as hard as you can, and there's a reason he was the last pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And a guy like Spencer Rattler goes out there and like Dak Prescott is one of those guys where I didn't see anything at Mississippi State that led you to believe that he could do what he did, but he has all the physical tools,
right?
And he gets an opportunity because didn't they have 17 injuries ahead of him, and they're like, oh, we gotta put in this guy.
Yep,
boom,
there he goes.
So as much fun as that is to watch, but the Saints are, I mean, they were the most for real team out there after 3 weeks.
After 2 weeks, they put up 40 in two wins, and then phew, right down the tubes.
Yeah, which has been a fun little journey.
But I think unless Detroit starts to get you cannot have your quarterback throw for nearly 500 yards and be losing games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was, I think, more a product of they were just behind the entire game than it was they can't run the ball, because I think their offensive line is still great. It's just the defense has to go out there and get some stops.
They got
to
get some stops, get them the ball back. So they're at the Bears and the 49ers before they get the Vikings at home to end the season. That Niners game is Monday night. So we'll see what the weather's like. I think it'll be good, though, for them with two road games in, you know, we saw the deluge that was Thursday night in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You could get cold, snow, wind, whatever you got to deal with in Chicago. Mm-hmm. They'll be favorites, I would imagine, in both those games. So then it becomes a matter of that will be good prep. Because I think Minnesota might end up winning the division. I think their schedule is a little easier down the stretch.
I think it's going to come down to that head-to-head. And if you can take care of business outside of that final matchup, and
well,
both
they get
teams,
the Packers at home the week before, so
the Packers are playing for everything.
That's
too.
It's going to be wild.
So it's going to be a very fun finish to it. Philadelphia Eagles, though, might be the most dangerous team, because they could not pass the ball until they could not pass the ball. So we will talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, all the drama that led to the no drama llama showing up for the Battle of Pennsylvania this weekend. So we'll dive into the team that may end up with the bye, and how much do you want to play a team that can run it for 260 yards or just sling it all over the yard, apparently. So we'll discuss that next. It is a Swag and Luke edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in, Luke Anderson, Jason Swigard with you for the next few days, and then we've got Dirt and Sprague back. What are you doing there?
Waving to all our YouTube fans.
Blowing kisses.
The chatter. Chatter is always spicy on YouTube, no matter the time of day.
Oh, good for you.
I don't know how many people are worked up. Surprised how many people are that worked up at 6 a.m.
Yeah? What are they fired up about? They're
well,
up
first was you.
Yeah, well, for obvious reasons. I mean, you put a visual to this audio. I mean, watch out, world.
But now the chatter is Geno Smith and the Vikings fans are out, so... So yeah, we'll keep YouTube going. That's a great thing. Don't have to do a best of. Thanks to everybody filling in. Apparently, Ortner's got a big fan somewhere. Somebody was asking when Ortner's filling in again.
Yeah, he's on a couple times this
Molly,
week.
I think somebody.
Ooh, so. All right. Have we made that connection yet?
I don't know. Maybe I'm Chuck Woolery this week. Who knows?
Now I like what you're selling. Let's
be back
go.
In 2-2.
Making the love connections for anybody that was born after 1990, so they know what we're talking about. The NFL weekend
was great.
It was. It showed us who was for real, though, and who was not. My only lament was that both games in the 1 o'clock hour were the two most intriguing games of the day. So flipping back and forth between Steelers, Eagles, and Bills, Lions.
Well, do you not do Red Zone?
I don't. I've never really liked
Red Zone. I go Red Zone, and then I've got the second screen with whatever the one game that I need to see most of.
Yeah.
And that was Bills Lions.
Well, I mean,
sorry for Eagles Steelers, but
no, I get it. I mean, it was not as entertaining of a game. I mean, you hope that the Steelers
Steelers can run the football, and I think if anything
or catch the football to run it. I mean, that Najee Harris.
Well, they didn't have Pickens, so they didn't have a deep threat over the top, and that allowed the Eagles to load the box and.
But the other
keep
thing was
in front of him. Freiermuth made some great catches to get the one touchdown. So.
The thing that was more surprising, though, was the lack of defense or the dearth of offense. I don't know what you would say, but it was the Eagles. I don't know how you stop them. I mean, it looked like the game plan was to load the box and stop Saquon.
Yeah.
Check. Jalen Hurts can't throw the ball. He can't even get along with his wide receivers. Oh, wait.
Yeah, he can.
Oh.
They're fine.
Oh, wait. I mean, has there ever been a team this good and this polarizing? I mean, no, they had the epic collapse last year at the end of the year, and they still, got into the playoffs just to get kind of eliminated pretty quickly. But they've been to a Super Bowl with Nick Sirianni. They have had, an exceptional winning record with Nick Sirianni, yet nobody seems to have faith in them. Jalen Hurts isn't a guy that can, be brought into the elite quarterback conversation. He's limited, but is he?
Maybe physically. I mean, certainly he can't do some of the things that Josh Allen can or Patrick Mahomes can, but he certainly orchestrates it. That's a short list.
Yeah.
And that's the big dilemma that a lot of teams have is, okay, if you have to go through one of those teams to get to the Super Bowl, and obviously the Eagles won't, being in the NFC, if they want to win one, they got to beat, you would assume, one of those guys, or Lamar Jackson.
Or, I mean, still mathematically alive, Joe Burrow, the one guy that has beaten Patrick Mahomes, I don't think they're going to get
no,
in.
Stop it.
Well, no, but...
They're not. They got bigger problems.
I'm just saying the number of quarterbacks that you have in the AFC is my point.
Yes.
The only reason I bring him up is there is a lot of talent on that side of the
no question.
The league.
But if you can, there aren't that many teams that can stop the run the way the Steelers defense can.
Yeah.
And he still had, 75 yards?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, certainly none of the teams they're going to face – going forward in the regular season, they get the other three in their division.
Yep.
So Saquon should have 100-yard games. He might get the all-time record. It'll be interesting. There will be an asterisk by it, needing 17 games to do so. But,
well, I mean, they'll from here on out, there'll be at least 17 games. I'd be very surprised if in the next handful of years you don't see 18
games. Did Eric
games,
Dickerson do it in 14 or 16? I can't remember.
I think he did it in 16 because OJ did it in 14.
OJ did it in 14,
yeah,
2003 with the Bills. back in the day.
Say 2003?
2003 yards.
Oh, I was like, you didn't play. He played in the... Yeah. Yes. But yeah, he did a 2,000-yard season in 14 games, which is still absolutely insane. And then I think Dickerson was 16 games, but I'm sure we can double-check.
We'll figure that one out. But no, I think they have an easy route. They will likely have the number one seed. That would help them. We'll see if they can get a few more dudes healthy. Goddard's out for the season. Is his injury for the season, or is he potentially coming back for the playoffs?
That I
can't remember.
Know. Yeah.
So he's the one piece that they, I think, would like to get back if possible. Because he gives them a dimension in the middle of the field that nobody else does. A.J. Brown can sort of fill that, but he's trying to get further down the field. You still have Devontae Smith over the top.
Yep. Well, and just
and
on,
Gainwell,
on the edges.
Gainwell can give Barkley a breather. They use him in the screen game.
I think the biggest thing is, I mean, with Saquon and what he can do in the passing game as well, because he can be an over-the-middle target as well. But you get him the ball in space and watch out, because he's just so electric. It's an element that, you know, the NFL has kind of moved off of. But watching the Packers last night and seeing what Josh Jacobs was able to do and how easy it makes it for Jordan Love, and looking at Jalen Hurts, the same thing. It's like your job just becomes that much easier, and you can criticize the Eagles or they can have internal strife because they're running the ball so much more. But the NFL has figured out that, you know, if all the defenses are gearing up to stop the passing game, it's going to be harder to stop the running game. The passing numbers are down, rushing numbers are up. Offensive coordinators have figured it out. So the debate now becomes, is what value is there in having a primary back, having an elite back? And Saquon Barkley is number one on that list. Derrick Henry, number two. Josh Jacobs, number three. There are guys.
Well, the most important factor in if you are going to pay one of those guys is, are they on the field every Sunday?
Yep. Well, and the funny thing is, you don't have to pay them right now because they're all already signed. So it's not, I mean, it doesn't, but this season, it's if you get into the playoffs and you're in Philadelphia hosting playoff games,
right,
running the ball is going to be the way to do it, and playing defense and controlling the ball on the offensive side of it. So I don't even think that it's one of those, you know, questions of whether or not there is value in running backs. It's whether or not you pay them in the future, but that's a problem for the GMs of you know, two or 3 years from now. But for this season, I don't want to play a team that can run the ball like that or have a home run hitting back that can also just, you know, pick up 2 and 3 yards extra.
And that's why for the Chiefs, getting Pacheco back was so key for them. Now they got to figure out how injured. It doesn't sound like Mahomes is...
Sounds like
there's no structural damage. At least that's what they're saying. That's what they said last night. Andy Reid did. It's, you know, he sprained it, he rolled it. How much swelling is there? How much pain? That sort of thing. So
would you rather have 75% Patrick Mahomes for the next few weeks and try to secure the number one overall seed? Or would you rather have 100% Patrick Mahomes for the playoffs and roll out Carson Wentz for the next couple weeks?
Boy, I don't know. I might want that one seed. If you don't have to go to Buffalo. I know they play in Kansas City and you can get weather there, but not Buffalo's different, especially if the lake effect is in effect.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
And Bills Mafia will be out for them.
For sure.
So if they can make Buffalo go there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't worry about the weather so much with Kansas City, just because
I think they would want the one seed, and they would rather use the bye week to finish getting healthy. Maybe if they can take care of business, maybe they've got the cushion where he can rest week 18.
Yeah,
but no, if he can get out there, he's shown that even if he's limited, he can still orchestrate things.
Well, that it's a decision making, right? It's just
Andy Reid is creative enough offensively to come up with things that don't necessarily put him in harm's way.
Yeah. What is their schedule to finish things out? If we look at
The Chefs?
Yeah, the Chefs. Who do they got here? Oh, it's such a great time of year. Jacksonville, Detroit, Chicago. No, that's not right.
No, they get the Texans.
Yep. Yep, that's right. That's part of the Saturday.
At the Steelers and at the Broncos.
Whew. That's actually that's a pretty tough road to hoe. I mean, they
and this rough stretch. They're playing 3 games in 11 days. So they played today. They will play on Saturday against the Texans, and then they'll play Christmas, which is a Wednesday, at the Steelers.
And they are a blocked field goal away from losing to Denver the first time around. So you've got a 2-game cushion right now over the Bills.
But the Broncos may have clinched a playoff spot at that point. They're not getting to the division title, so they could be resting some dudes as well.
Very, very interesting.
So that one you might be able to get away with Carson Wentz, depending on what happens if you've got the number one seed. We shall see.
Resurgence of running backs in the NFL.
I love it.
Well, here's my question.
I grew up in the heyday of the running back. Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett.
Well, let's look at the future of running backs.
Bring it back.
The question I have for you then, sir, if you love the heyday of running backs, how early is Ashton Jeanty going off the board? He did not win the Heisman Trophy, but it was closer, as close as it's ever been in a Heisman race. But we will talk about the winner, the loser, and the future of both of them in the NFL. We'll do that.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Celebrate the season with a Northwest tradition. Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
That's right. Today's Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings you holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa. Nobody on the
ho.
What was that, Swag? Dirt and Sprague back on Friday. Swag and I taking care of things for you today.
Yes.
It is.
We will have some ticker guests as the week goes on.
Yeah.
Monday, there was so much football. Everybody was going around. And so we will wedge in. The Heisman. Here.
Yeah, we will pull in our friends from the college football ranks. We're
That's
talking
right.
a ton of NFL going off of this. Not much going on in college football this weekend, at least at the FBS level. So we will go over to the biggest award, and it's funny, college football.
Did you
awards
watch it?
In general? I did not.
Okay.
I did, well,
5 o'clock on a Saturday is tough to dial in for if.
And it felt inevitable, but yes. I was wrong. I mean, it was a
closer.
Much closer race.
Yes.
So, and here's the thing, at least that I heard, if accurate, it was the closest voting since 2009 between Mark Ingram and Toby Gearhart.
Yes.
Which that just
Gearhart
two,
got screwed by.
Yeah, me. I don't disagree, but those two names do not match the excitement that we got from Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter. We may look back on it and go, who? In, 12, 14, 15 years to these two guys. And, it was that gimmicky guy that Dion let play on both sides of the ball and that guy from Boise State.
I think he's going to have a great NFL career.
I tend to agree with you, but
Jeanty's the bigger mystery.
Mark Ingram was pretty good. In the NFL.
Yeah.
Toby Gearhart disappeared off of it. So I just look back at that and just go, that was a close race, but it wasn't one of those blow your skirt up Heisman races.
Yeah. I had a couple of overriding thoughts from the Heisman.
Well, this is what we're doing, young man.
Nice.
We're talking about the Heisman. So you have Travis Hunter, who played 713 snaps on the defensive side of the ball, 709 snaps on the offensive side of the ball. If you take away all the other things that he did, just from an endurance standpoint, he deserves a medal.
Yes.
But then he is one of the top 5 wide receivers, and he is one of the top 5 corners, depending on the metrics you look at. So just give the guy the award. Except Ashton Jeanty has 800 more rushing yards than anybody else in football, and if you just took his after-contact yards, he still wins the rushing crown in college football, which is absolutely insane. The funny thing is, I think if you split up these guys and put them in any other year, they both win the award.
Probably.
If either one of them did what they did this year, last year they beat out Jaden Daniels. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Had, and most years,
had
we can go back to the whole thing.
Had he gotten had he gotten Barry's record in that Mountain West Conference title game, had he been able to do it before the end of the voting, I think that would have been...
I don't disagree with that.
That's like a Holy Grail record in college football.
Yep.
And Barry Sanders' single season record.
And he ended up...
It's like 146 yards short or something like that.
The interesting thing about that, too, is you look at it and just his usage, and you go, if they ran the ball more than 13 times against Portland State, he would have had
Of those early ones. Yeah, was out. He was out for most of the second half. They could have done it.
Yeah, if it was the goal. He did say that he was going to get 2,000 yards. I can't remember what the bet was. I don't know if you remember, but he was going to shave his head or something if he lost. He made the bet with his offensive line. But he's all going to get 2,000 yards. Well, check. And now he gets potentially multiple playoff games. And I know that the Barry Sanders had bowl games, has the record, you know, plus bowl games. So I don't know if he has to beat 2,800 yards or whatever it is if you count the bowl game.
Well, no, the bowl games figure into
the total,
the regular season total. So, no, normally that's all. That's all.
Well, I know that Barry Sanders had the record both with and without. They have those numbers. Right. So either way, Genty does have another game, but as many as potentially three. I mean, he could be playing against SMU or Penn State, and depending on what he does.
If they get
games.
Penn State, and if he breaks the record against Penn State, who is a legitimate front seven, knock your block off sort of defense, that will be, there'll be a lot of voters.
Yeah.
Who think, wow, I we'll see. Sure. We'll see, too, if they start to change. I wonder if the 12-team, the expanded college football playoff, will get them to move the Heisman voting back. Like, if these games...
I kind of like that it's a non-playoff award.
The
other thing that I was curious your thoughts on was how much credit for Travis Hunter getting the play as much as you want goes to Deion. Because that was the deal. Because he went to Jackson State.
Yeah.
Because Deion was like, I'm not going to make you pick. You play both. And, you know, I wonder how many college coaches would have let him do that.
True.
I mean, that is pretty remarkable that he was able to do it. But at the same time,
he was able to do
it. How many guys could have done that? I mean, if Ashton Genty went and was one of the top 10 linebackers in the country after he ran for the yards that he did, do you know how mind-blowing that would be? So
I think it only happens. I don't think it would ever happen on an Alabama or Ohio State.
Sure.
Because they're able to get 4- and 5-star guys at every position.
Sure.
So it has to be on a program like Colorado or Boise State or, you know, something else where you have 5-star talent on both sides of the ball at a school where you don't get a lot of 5-star guys.
If you're a 2-way star in high school, though, and you're looking at the college landscape and going, where do I want to go and play?
Yeah,
you're listening to that call from Colorado. That's for sure. So I just
oh no question.
I don't know. I guess my curiosity is he a unicorn where no one else could have done that, or has it just because there has not been the opportunity? You wonder how many guys, given the opportunity, if Darren Woodson, the last 2-way player, Charles Woodson, I'm sorry, the primarily defensive player who played some offense and special teams, he won the award in 97, right?
Yeah.
If he had a coach that was just like, just play every play. At Michigan, I mean, it's like you said. I mean, there's your 5 stars and 4 stars even before.
I think at some of those programs, I think coaches, you know, the new generation of coaches, I think they're much more open to it. But I think they would have to. I think what they will do is evaluate. Okay, where are you on the depth chart on both sides of the ball? Like the coordinators, position guys, is like, okay, you can go out there and see, but I'm not putting you out there for the novelty of it.
Yeah.
But I think they're a lot more open to it than.
Yeah, it felt a lot more like novelty last year when they started hot and fell off the map. And
but I am glad that it was those two that were by far the finalists.
Yep.
And hopefully this means Heisman voters are watching the entire landscape from opening weekend through the end, all schools, all stuff. So that was good to see. And then either Cam Ward should not have been there,
yeah.
Or Cam Scataboo should also have been there, because if you look, there is not a predetermined number of finalists. Everybody yeah. thinks, is there three, is there four? They can take as many as they want. What they usually look for is a natural break in the voting that separates it. You actually could have had just those two.
Yeah.
But that's not good for TV, because I have to do a 1-hour TV show, and yep. there's only so much of profiles we can do with two. And well, so we need at least three. And if you're going to take yeah. three, you should have taken four. But if you look where the voting was, how it broke, Dylan Gabriel was a distant third, but there was a big gap between him and then down to Cam Ward. The gap between Ward and Scataboo was not very large.
Based on the profile that they did in the Big 12 championship game on Cam Scataboo, he should be everywhere. Anytime you're doing a TV program yes. that involves college football, have that guy there.
So that was the big disappointment, was either cut it off at Dylan Gabriel or Scataboo should have been there.
Today's Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa. I do want to hear your thoughts on the future, because what do you do with Travis Hunter in the NFL, and how high would you climb to get Ashton Jeanty? Closest guy to Barry Sanders in college football since Barry Sanders. I mean, it's just been absolutely remarkable what he's yeah. done. After contact,
he
would have led the nation. After
you couldn't contact, get contact,
he would have
Barry.
Led the nation. After contact would have led the nation if only you took the numbers after somebody tried to tackle him. I don't care if you're in the Mountain West
yeah.
or in whatever.
Who does he most resemble? We'll talk about that, who he most resembles. From NFL stardom, from those top back, from let's say from the 2,000 yard backs.
And you pulled up all the 2,000 yes. yard numbers. So we mentioned it earlier in the show. How many games did it take Dickerson? I was on the 16 side. I may have been right, but we'll talk about yards per carry, number of games, all of the thing from top backs. We'll compare it to Ashton Jeanty. Oh man, it's going to be a great segment. I feel bad for the ticker. It's going to get left in the dust by ticker part two. So we'll do that next. We'll do that next. It is Luke and Swag on Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Try Luke Anderson filling in for both Dirt and Sprague. The nice thing about this, for not just me, but for the world in general, is when I fill in, I'm taking out two guys. I'm taking out Dirt, I'm taking out Sprague. It really gives Jason Swagger room to stretches,
explore the
wings,
space.
Explore the space, yes. kind of feel it out. You get.
Am I the Bruce Dickinson of the Fan?
I don't know about that, but I'm here to pull you into the conversation.
Okay,
so we get more. Well, I mean, listen, you're always welcome to join the conversation, of course, but you really get to spread your wings and fly. I don't have the ego to try to stop you, but you are very, very excited about what's going on currently in the NFL, which is guys are running the ball
yes.
more. There are some top backs that are just doing some things that you just go, yeah, that reminds me of hard-nosed 1990s.
Right. Franco Harris, Earl yeah. Campbell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even just going back to, you know, Terrell Davis and Thurman
mode.
Thomas, Emmett Smith, Beast Mode, Eddie George.
Yep.
All of these guys. And so you've got yes. Saquon, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, just having, you know, the renaissance of the running back in the NFL.
Well, and you're seeing other guys do it. Kyron Williams with the Rams, the yep. way he's doing it.
Yeah, well, you've got smaller linebackers because they need to be
right.
a little bit fleeter of foot to help, you know, stop the pass attack that the NFL has brought to the world.
You can't blow guys up over the middle the way that you used to be able to. Yep. So a lot of those, you remember when the Steelers had, you know, 270-pound linebackers.
Yeah. Well, but you
and if you were a tight end or a slot receiver, there was no way you were going across the
yep.
middle.
Yep. Well, but even now, when you go to the outside, you have so much athleticism
yeah.
in the slot with tight ends that you have to be able to go and run with these guys. And so you need to be lighter to do that. You need to have better athletes. But that means stepping up and trying to run through a Derrick Henry at 230 pounds is not something that's going to happen. And Josh Jacobs just dragging people last night. I mean,
yep.
the entire Seahawks linebacking and center of the linebacking core has been...
I wonder how many Seahawks fans, literally, they went down and shoved it down the Seahawks' throat in that opening drive.
Mm-hmm. Opening two drives.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And they're just like, okay, we don't have anything to deal with this.
I thought we got bigger and stronger. I mean, they got rid of their two starting middle linebackers to
Mike
get
McDonald
bigger.
Did a great job. He reinvented his whole defense as a rookie head coach and halfway through the season. That's a pretty bold maneuver.
Yes. You were not stopping him last night. So we've got the renaissance of the running back. We've got Ashton Jeanty finishing as a runner up in the
I think
Heisman
Ashton
race.
Jeanty will be a first round top half pick.
Yeah.
There will be teams that try to assess. You could see, I mean, the place he fits. If they don't make the playoffs and they're uncertain about Christian McCaffrey, how does he not fit with the 49ers?
You know where I'd like to see him go?
Seattle.
Chicago. Well, I mean, yeah, Seattle. I mean, it'd be great. But Seattle's got a good running back room. And if Kenneth Walker can stay healthy and Zach Charbonnet has shown that he can do it.
Chicago, we'll wait and see. They got to figure out what they're going to do with the coaching staff. And
oh, totally.
And if they want to build it around Caleb Williams, then...
I just think if you have a backfield of Caleb Williams and Ashton Jeanty, and if you want to make
well,
it
Well, I think
really
if they
fun,
don't address the offensive line, it's not going to matter.
I don't disagree with that. So I just grew up watching great Chicago backs. I mean,
that's true.
You know, I mean, having Walter Payton, I didn't see Gale Sayers. But even, you know, Neil Anderson and the A-Train and all of the backs that they have had, it's a cold weather city.
Yep.
It is a uniform that screams to have a guy that is an absolute monster in the backfield. And if you're going to go somewhere and get that, I don't think it's probably the best move for them.
No,
but
they need to take an offensive lineman in the first round. Whoever the best tackle is, they got to shore things up, or a center. We'll see.
Yeah.
That's where you start to show Caleb Williams that you're serious about helping him out.
I do not disagree with that. So you have the numbers.
So, yeah. So OJ was the only one that did it in 14 games. He had
2,003 yards.
2,003 yards on 332 carries.
Okay.
So the best 16 game that's the closest to that was Barry Sanders in 97. He had 2,053 yards, but he only had three more carries. So his per carry average was 6.1.
Okay. And what was OJ's then?
OJ's was 6.0.
Okay. So
Adrian Peterson was 6.0. He rushed for 2,097 yards on 348 carries. Dickerson actually had 379 carries to get to 2,105. His average of 5.6. There, Jamal Lewis had the lowest per carry average of 5.3, 387 carries. Terrell Davis had the most carries, 392.
Yeah.
Just getting over. His actually per carry average was the lowest, 5.1. So.
And where are we at with Saquon right now?
I need to pull Saquon's stats up.
He is averaging 5.9 yards per
carry.
So he's
at the
right
upper
now.
End
yeah,
of where
285 carries already, it looks like.
So, and you wonder, they'll probably be able to rest him in the final game.
Yeah.
Game 17. So if he's going to do it, but he still needs a good almost 400, over 400 yards.
Well, to get to Dickerson.
To get to Dickerson's
but
record.
Even to get to 2,000, he still has to get another
300
yards.
2,000, he needs 312 yards.
What's a yard from scrimmage record, too? Because he's got 31 receptions for almost another 300
that
yards.
I don't. I think that's a Marshall Faulk record when he was with the Bolts.
With the Bolts or the Rams.
Or Rams, sorry.
The greatest show on turf.
Greatest show on turf, I'm guessing that's him, but I could be wrong.
Well, I'm curious what we do with Travis Hunter in the NFL. That's my big question. We'll start the next hour with that. So we will get to that. We'll get probably back into the NFL. You know, we'll have to do our hourly cup check. We have so many things to do in the final hour of Dirt and Sprague on this Monday morning. We will do it all next and then some. This is Luke and Swag filling in for Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.